Welcome to Full Potential, Thriving with Neurodiversities. I'm your host, Sarah Intonato. This podcast teaches parents of children with neurodiversities, such as autism, ADHD, learning disabilities, and beyond, to support their kids in reaching their full potential so that they can thrive, instead of letting stereotypes define them. My mission is to end suffering amongst these parents by giving them the tools to heal themselves, which in turn empowers them to be bold, confident advocates for their children. By addressing a variety of topics, such as well-being, advocacy, and spirituality, these parents stop being the victims of a broken system and instead succeed in providing their unique children with exactly what they need to thrive and share their gifts with the world. One by one, these families now change the world through their uniqueness instead of being victimized by it. Are you ready? Let's get started. Hello, hello. I'm Sarah Intonato, and I'm so honored to have you on today's podcast where you're going to witness an unscripted, unfiltered coaching session between me and a client named Daniela. And Daniela has graciously agreed to do this because so many people ask me, you know, Sarah, what does coaching with you actually look like? What does it entail? How will it help me? And Daniela has graciously offered to come here honestly and openly, vulnerably, and discuss what's relevant in her life as a parent to a child with autism who's a non-speaker and how she is looking to receive support from me today. So hold on to your hats, grab your tissues, grab your tea, and listen with an open mind, wondering if this can be helpful for you too. Let's dive in. All right, everybody. I'm here with Daniela, who is an amazing mom. She lives in the suburbs of New York City with her husband and her son, Luca, who is almost nine and is on the spectrum and is a non-speaker. And as I mentioned before we started, this is going to be an unscripted coaching session. I don't know where it will go, but I did remind Daniela before we started that it's crucial she is herself with me. So there's no judgment here. This is a judgment-free zone. There's nothing that she could tell me that I haven't heard of or seen myself. And this is really important. Many people know they need support. They know they need coaching, but they're scared to ask for coaching because they're embarrassed about the issues they're facing at home. For example, you might have a teenager who still sleeps in your bed with you, and you might feel some shame around that being not age appropriate. You might have an adult child who's not toilet trained fully. Mm-hmm. Whatever the issue is, it's okay. This is a judgment-free zone, and you can't truly address something if you're not honest about where you're starting first. So that's why we're here. Daniela is also a teacher, and she has what I think done something very exciting and taken a sabbatical year for herself because, in her words, she was feeling burnt out both at school, at work, and at home. And Daniela, I was wondering if you could start by telling us a little bit about that, unless there's anything else you'd like to add to the introduction first.
Sure. No, I think you did a great job. I did just want to say thank you for giving me the opportunity to be with you in a session.
My pleasure. And I told Daniela, in accordance with being your full self, it's okay to cry in coaching. I cry all the time. So have your tissues. If you're somebody who, you know, needs a sensory gratification yourself, have that with you. It's fine. And let's roll.
Okay. So work-wise, I'm teaching, this would be my 21st year in the DOE with New York City. So I've been teaching a very long time. I think that kind of plays a role with Luca and his autism because it's very hard to teach him.
Wait, let's pause there.
It's a guilt for me.
Guilt is the emotion specifically that's coming up.
Yeah. I feel like I have a reputation, not to toot my own horn, but I do have a reputation as being a very strong teacher in my building. And I feel like it doesn't reciprocate at home.
So you're encountering some walls at home that are making you feel like your educational abilities are stifled in that environment.
Yeah, it's like, I guess I'm just mom for him and not a practitioner or a therapist. And he just, he doesn't gravitate to learning with me. And I don't know if that's the regulation part on both our ends. So that's something that we're struggling with.
And before we go anywhere else, when you feel that emotionality come up, knowing I'm such an amazing teacher, everyone at work knows it. I can do anything for my students. Yeah. And yet at home, it's like butting my head against a wall. Again, right. My words, not yours.
Yeah.
What stories come up about yourself? What beliefs come up about yourself?
Like work-wise, it just, you know, that I'm definitely a worker, that I work through everything, that I push through. I'm good with curriculum. I'm good at pushing kids up and helping them with reading and with math.
And what about at home when you're butting your head against a wall?
At home, I feel like, I don't know if it's, I'm just so exhausted from work too, that I'm not fully into it. And I'm coming home sitting in an hour of traffic and thinking, what am I cooking for dinner quickly, and going through his backpack. But I find that when I'm sitting with him, he just doesn't sit with me. Like, you know, it's like, it's, we don't have that relationship where he does with like an ABA therapist or, yeah, you know, someone else that is, you know, working with him.
And Daniela, what would you like to see happen as a result of us talking today?
I think.
How would you like to feel, or what would you like to have at the end of this meeting?
Maybe some tips, strategies, where I think regulation on both of our parts is huge right now. He's expressed to me on the letter board with a practitioner near him that mom needs to regulate better.
Hey now.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, as a parent to a non-speaker, that's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't always get that out. It has to be certain, you know, he has to be like really focused, really regulated, I guess is the word. And so it's here and there where we get like a lot of writing, a lot of thoughts, a lot of spelling. He's also expressed that he wants me to look for a better school for him.
Amazing.
Yeah. So he does do this with the practitioner. Some days they just really work on motor and his body and, you know, trying to give him what he needs in terms of tools for regulation.
Hit the pause button for a minute, because I know there are many parents who are going to end up listening to this as a podcast episode who mm-hmm. have non-speaking children who have not yet uncovered their ability to spell. Have you paused at all to acknowledge that you were the mom who didn't take no for an answer and was committed to figuring out a way to helping your child communicate when he had no voice?
Yeah.
Have you acknowledged that this is happening because of you?
I mean, I guess I haven't. He's one of the youngest, actually, on Staten Island.
And would it be fair to say that you haven't acknowledged it as a win on your part as a parent, as an amazing mom, because you're already looking down the barrel of the next thing?
Yeah, I'm always doing that. I mean, yesterday Wednesday, he had a session and he wrote out carnivores feed on other animals. And it was, you know, a text that they read together and they asked an open-ended question, and that's what he wrote.
Amazing. And
to me, it's just like, I was so excited. We went out for ice cream. I was so proud of him. But I just am constantly thinking about what is not happening.
So,
like what he's not doing, what I'm afraid of.
Sure. Take a deep breath. Just give yourself a moment. We have time. Take a deep breath. What is it costing you today to hold your attention on what you and he are not doing enough of, or right enough, or yet, instead of holding your attention on these amazing, joyful, what I would consider profound wins that are happening already right in front of you?
Yeah, I definitely don't stop enough and appreciate that.
But wait, I want you to be with that question. What is it costing you?
It's costing me a lot. I feel very mentally drained. It's also heavy on a marriage.
Yes. Yeah. I want to acknowledge that. And you know, the statistics are a little fuzzy. I actually wrote about this in my upcoming book briefly. Some people say that 60% of marriages end in divorce when you have a child with autism. Other statistics, excuse me, are as high as 80%. We may never know. Suffice to say, odds are not good.
Yeah, sure.
Odds are not good. And I'm going to ask you a question because I want you to reflect. Your son is almost 9.
Yeah. Well, he turned 9. He turned 9 in July.
Sorry about that. He turned 9.
No, okay. That's okay.
He's already 9.
Yeah.
He sounds like in many ways, maybe not in every way yet, but in many ways he's thriving.
Yeah.
And yet I know from raising a child with autism, there are many stressful days. There are many days that are exhausting. There are many days where you don't have the answers that end in tears and you're doing your best.
Yeah.
And yet you're here. And even if it's been hard on your marriage, you and your husband are still married. This would have decimated many marriages years ago before the kid turned 9. So what did you do to get through it? Because you've gotten through it thus far. What did you do that worked?
I think I can't say the communication part because I feel like we need help with communication, but I think we're both committed. We're committed to helping our son, and we're committed to whatever it takes to, you know, to have him thrive, and to each other.
So what I'm hearing you say is that even if you don't have all the answers relating to parenting or relating to marriage, you're willing to figure out the answers.
And I think we're just doing that. I think I'm the researcher, and he just kind of lets me be and lets me do what I, you know, he's never really shut down an idea. And I've traveled places and gone places and went the holistic way and did chiropractor for years and detoxed him and all that stuff that, you know, we all do. He's never really.
Actually, I'm going to stop you. We don't all do it. And this is what I've come to realize in talking to a lot of families. What is just natural for you is being what I would call a next level parent. You're looking at all the things, right?
Yeah.
And I've met many families who don't have the energy or the capacity to do the research or the fight left in them.
Yeah.
Look at all these different things. And notice how you just glossed over it. It's like, I'm just doing the things that everyone else does, right?
Right.
Well, you're not realizing because you're head down parenting your own child that you're doing so much more than the average parent to a child with needs. So again, are you willing to pause and feel proud of yourself for a minute? Homework assignment number one, I'm going to write these down.
Yeah.
Every night before you go to bed, I want you to list 3 things that you're proud of, that you did or that happened because of you that day. Are you willing to do that?
I would love to do that. I think it would help me mentally do that because I often go to bed saying I should have done this better. I should have kept my cool better when he was upset or, you know, when he was hitting himself or, you know, when he destroyed something in the house because he's frustrated. I should have kept my cool. So I go to bed often saying how many more things I should need to do better.
How does that feel in your body?
Yeah, it tears you up. Most nights I'm not really sleeping a lot. I wake up, I'm researching, I find something, I'm reading it, I pictures, I'm going to buy this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to rub magnesium on him. You know, it's like, it's really hard to have a peaceful sleep.
Do you believe it's possible for you to thrive too?
I do believe it's possible. I think I would have a lot of work to do on myself.
How do you know that?
I feel like I've never really grown up with like that great self-esteem. I think that I've gotten stronger through experiences.
Yeah.
So I definitely know I can handle a lot.
Yeah. And also self-esteem is one of those things that's like asking someone, when is it enough?
Yeah.
We don't actually have a way of measuring that, right? Like how will you know when you're enough? How will you know when your self-esteem is high enough to feel good enough to sleep at night?
Yeah.
Tell me, how will you know?
I don't know. I don't really know what that feels like. I mean, I know I'm a good mom. I take care of my family. They have food. I cook. I clean. I go to work.
Hang on. Stop. You say, I believe I'm a good mom. But do you think if you really felt that in your body versus just paying it lip service,
right,
it might be easier to get into bed at night, write down the three things that you're proud of, take an exhale, let the day go to sleep, and then trust that whatever research needs to be done or the next thing that needs to happen can happen in the morning?
I think with practice and really devoting that time to doing that assignment, I would get there.
It's interesting because I know your son so beautifully articulated, mom needs to regulate more.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's going to have different things that help them regulate. I openly talk about how yoga practice daily is how I have always self-regulated. Always meaning from age 20 and up. And I can openly say, like, taking nice bubble baths and writing in my journal are things I love to do. I just took a hot bath last night and did a hypnosis while I was in it. But that's not enough for me to regulate my nervous system. So everyone's going to have a different mix. And I want you to know it's okay if you have to try some things on to see what anchors you.
Mm-hmm.
But trusting that something does exist that will anchor you. And when you find it, it will feel like an anchor. The reason I kept up my yoga practice is not because it was the easiest fitness routine for me. On the contrary, I could have just put on some loud music and gone to a dance class and jumped around and had a great time. It would have been really fun, right? Yoga was hard.
Yeah.
It was confronting. I was there with all of my thoughts. And when it was over, it was the only thing that made my mind feel quiet and calm, as if I'd taken a Xanax, but I hadn't taken a Xanax. And I thought, whatever I need to do to feel that again, I will do it.
Keep doing it. Yeah.
And I looked at it as medicine. And ironically, this was me struggling with anxiety as a college student. I didn't have kids at the time. Mm-hmm. I had dealt with autism. I probably didn't even really know what it was.
Right.
But I knew this tool worked for my life. So we're going to start to peel back the layers.
Okay.
And look at, okay, trying this thing. How does it make me feel? And looking at it from the perspective of, you know, I'm very spiritual. I use the word spiritual a lot. You could also use the word energetic.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at it as a way of building up your spiritual bank account. So maybe your bank account is at zero today or at overdraft. Again, no judgment. Sitting down and writing three things that you're proud of to clear your mind and to end the day with a note of gratitude for yourself instead of taking out the stick to beat yourself of all the things you didn't do right again. It might only be a 10-cent deposit into your spiritual bank account. But if you do that 10-cent deposit every day for a year and interest builds on it and the result is cumulative, well, look how much you have in your account now. It doesn't mean you can't make other types of deposits as well. But that way, when you have a day where everything goes up in smoke, your child's having behaviors left, right, and center. You can't control them. School's a hot mess. You know, no one's eaten or slept because everyone's so dysregulated. Well, thankfully, on those days, you have the spiritual bank account that's full of previous deposits,
right,
that you can draw from for a day or a few when you need to make a withdrawal. But if that bank account is empty and you need a withdrawal, result is dysregulation.
Mm-hmm.
Burnout, stress, and the physical results of that, like insomnia, increased illness, headaches. There are physical things.
Snowball, sure.
Yeah, I know whenever I have an overly stressful moment in life, I can think back to a time when I was really having to advocate for Rocco's school and we had to enlist legal support. And during this time, he was home with us 24/7. My menstrual cycle was off the wall. It was the hot mess express. I didn't know what was happening. And my body's not like that normally. So it was my body's way of saying, hey, this is not a normal state you want to operate from. We can handle it temporarily because you've put so many deposits into your bank account, but don't keep making this amount of withdrawal because it's not going to work.
Right.
So back to you. When you say you believe it's possible for you to thrive too, mm-hmm. are you open to the idea that you can thrive now, that you don't have to wait for some far off time in the future?
I mean, I just don't look at it that way because I don't feel strong enough.
But do you, again, first of all, how do we know what enough is?
Right. I think I have just very high expectations of myself for him. And I think that's where I get caught up.
So in that regard, how will you know when you've reached what I'll call a cruising altitude, a place where, okay, maybe life isn't perfect, but you feel content with how things are now?
I think for me, the biggest thing right now that I can't control and I'm trying to control is Luca's self-injurious behaviors. So I think that maybe when I have that, or myself or him, like a little bit more manageable, maybe, mm-hmm. I'm looking for. I mean, I know there's going to be those tough days. I know that those are inevitable.
Yeah.
But I feel like when I have that, at least I may feel a little bit more peace and calm.
I don't know
how to get there. This is my struggle.
This is why we're here.
Yeah.
Because everyone listening knows I'm not just a coach and consultant. I'm also a parent.
Yeah.
And I know as a parent, I'm going to put on my parent hat for a minute, what it's like when your kid is having self-injurious behaviors and you're getting notes and reports home from school about that and the stress it causes and the worry it causes. Is my kid going to be allowed to stay in school? Are they going to come out? You know, what if he suddenly stops injuring himself and injures someone else, and the mind just goes and goes.
Yeah.
And when the mind goes and goes, we become dysregulated because we actually can't manage the future.
Yeah.
We can't manage the past either. We can learn from it, but we can't manage it.
Mm-hmm.
We can plan for the future, but we can't control it. We can only control today.
Yeah.
So when someone says, well, self-regulation, what does that even mean? When your son says, regulate more, mom, what does that actually mean? What do you do? Let's define it. So we know what we're going for here.
Mm-hmm.
Because even the words like feeling peaceful and calm, you know what that feels like, but let's get a little more specific about it. Do you feel in alignment with the idea that being self-regulated, steady, centered, goes hand in hand with being present in the moment rather than your body being there in the moment with whatever you're doing, making dinner, doing homework with your son, but your mind wandering to what's going to happen 3 months from now or when you go back to work or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Does that feel true to you?
Yeah, it definitely feels true. It's always thinking about what's next, what's coming, what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's true.
And we know that the idea of, I had a mentor once who called it future surfing. Your body's here, but your mind's off future surfing all these different waves that may or may not come, that may or may not exist. And yet you're spending a lot of energy there.
Right.
So we're here because you openly and bravely raised your hand and said, this is not working for me.
Mm-hmm.
If it worked for you, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Right.
Are you willing to try something else?
Yeah. I mean, I'm always willing to try anything.
Okay. Are you willing to not catch yourself and judge yourself when you see your mind off future surfing? Because it's something that's going to take practice. But when you catch your mind doing that, almost think of it like an alarm clock to say, oh, I'm going to come back now. And how I'm going to come back is I'm going to commit to taking three very slow, very deep nostril breaths. So like this. Feeling your lungs and chest really fill up. So it's not a rushed breath. It's not a sniffly type of breath. It's slow and steady. There's a Tibetan monk who passed away recently named Pema Chodron. And she would often say, pause and take three deep breaths, you know, when you're waiting for the traffic light to change before you hit send. That's a really good one.
Yeah.
before you have the conversation. And if you don't have time to take three slow, deep breaths, you've probably got a bigger problem.
Yeah.
Like you're facing a serious illness or something like that. So when you catch your mind going off, what am I going to do about school? What if this happens? What if that happens? Pause, catch yourself, bring your mind back, no matter what you're doing or where you are, and take three slow, deep breaths. Is that something you're willing to do?
Yeah, definitely.
Let's do it right now. Just relax. If you got tension in your shoulders, just shake it out. All we're going to do is take three slow, deep breaths through the nose. Go. Inhale. Exhale through the nose. Nice and slow. Do it again. Inhale. Exhale. One more time. Inhale. Exhale. And stop. Does any resistance come up when you do that? No. How does it feel in your body when you do that?
Feels good. It feels like a little heaviness is lifted. It feels a little bit more centered.
Good. What I also want to acknowledge is that we're working with your mind now. And it's a little bit more abstract to build mental strength than it is to build physical strength. Think about it. If you have a health goal in the gym and you want bigger biceps, what do? You start by measuring your bicep, you go in, you do some bicep curls, you do them again the next couple of days, you lift weights that are a little heavier, you probably eat the right things, right? And then a few months later, you measure your biceps again and you see your progress.
Right.
This is a little different in terms of measuring it, but it's no different in terms of how you practice it. So very often what happens is I give parents homework like this and they get frustrated themselves that 3 days later, they're still catching their mind at night wanting to wake up at 3 a.m. and do the research on Google, right? And so let's just remember that your son is 9 years old and it took time for these patterns to build. And we'll undo them quickly, but we're not going to judge how quick.
Okay.
Like, oh, this hasn't been perfect yet. And I'm a week in because I'm sensing a little bit of perfectionism from someone who is as thorough and committed as you. Is that a fair assessment?
Definitely.
Right there with you. I call myself a recovered perfectionist. Thank you. Thank you to yoga. That's the only reason. Otherwise, I would be just as wound up as everyone else who is struggling. But this is the first step in filling your spiritual bank account so that when you have a gnarly day and you get home from the school day and your son's having behaviors and you're exhausted because you didn't sleep well, you're willing to pause and you're willing to take three deep breaths.
Mm-hmm.
And reminder for everyone listening, every breath is the chance to begin again. Just because you had a bad hour prior does not mean you have to have a whole bad day. You can decide. And I know often people will say things like, but how can I decide? My child is non-speaking. He's having behaviors all this over the place. I'm tired. There's a financial strain on the family. There's my husband and I are at it because we're in disagreement, or we're both just totally spent and we haven't taken a vacation in years. I always come back to a yoga student of mine from many years ago who was also my neighbor. And she had two children, and one of them had cancer. I can't remember which kind, but it was very serious, and he was literally dying. And a bone marrow transplant saved his life. Mm-hmm. And I remember talking to her about it after he was healed and well, and asking her, how did you get through that time? And her answer, I'll never forget that moment. Like, I remember what I was wearing. I remember what she was wearing. I remember the time of day it was, you know, those really profound.
Yeah.
It was like that, because her answer was so powerful. And she said, you know, Sarah, gratitude is a choice. Joy is a choice. Mm-hmm. And when he was sick, we were at Sloan Kettering in New York City, mm-hmm. with the heavy energy of being surrounded by worry and fear and stress and anxiety and families all dealing with that. And I couldn't control any of that, but I could control myself and my mindset. And so every time they brought in an IV to give him, I took out a Sharpie and I would write, all is well,
no.
Safe. And then she'd say her son's name, when I'm using a pseudonym, Max is healed. Mm-hmm. God is so good. Life is so good. And she said, believe me, the nurses thought we were nuts, because every vial of medication they brought in, I took that Sharpie out and I wrote on it. And here's my son who has no hair, who is withered away, who is teetering on the brink of life or death. We didn't know at the time if he would actually be able to get a transplant or if there would be the right match for him.
Right.
Another child at home who's getting totally neglected because we're in the city all the time with his treatments.
Right.
Looked very grim. Mm-hmm. And every day I woke up and said, God, whoever you believe, I'm not saying you have to believe in God, but my child is alive today. I don't know what tomorrow will bring, but my child is alive today. I'm alive today. I want to walk up the stairs at the hospital. My body can do it. Thank God I'm able to do it. I'm going to be grateful for that. Mm-hmm. And I replay that moment over and over in my head, and I could cry too.
Yeah.
Whenever I have a hard day. And I remind myself, gratitude is a choice. And I know if you look at the online world, or like, you know, what's cool on the internet and stuff, you'll see things. If you go on Pinterest, you'll see all kinds of cute gratitude notebooks and gratitude practices. But a lot of people pay it lip service, just like saying, I'm enough, and then not respecting your need for sleep, and leaving your phone in another room at night, and instead waking up on Google at 3 a.m. to find the next thing, the magic bullet that's going to help. So we don't want lip service of I am enough or I'm grateful. We want to feel it. Mm-hmm. So the next homework assignment I have for you. So far we have writing down 3 things you're proud of every day.
Yes.
And I'm not going to give you a lot of homework, so don't worry about that. I know you and every other parent to a kid with needs is busy. The other is being present. When you catch your mind future surfing, come back, take 3 deep breaths.
Okay.
And the other thing is, I just want you to find one thing every day. I don't care what time of day. I don't care if you write it, if you just think it, what it is. I want you to find one thing a day that makes you feel so thankful that it moves you to tears.
I can do this.
Just be a nice sunset, right? Like, you don't have to go out and buy yourself new diamonds, though you certainly can, and every mom deserves it. But it can be that small. It can be like, I'm not going to work today. I have the time to drink my tea outside and listen to the birds. How amazing.
It's true.
I had a really terrible case of food poisoning over the summer that I hadn't had food poisoning in 20 years. And I was so intense, I had the spins. So if I tried to lift my head off the bathroom floor, the room was spinning.
Oh, that's
I had too many drinks. And obviously that had not happened. It was the middle of the day. And I remember thinking, I want to go back into bed, but I can't actually get there, because if I lift my head, the room spins so violently, I can't even see anything. And then I'm going to throw up again. I just have to lay here. And I remember having the thought, isn't it amazing that when I normally just tell my body to walk across the room, it just goes
That's
there?
it. Right.
I don't even have to overanalyze how am I going to do that? What's the strategy I need to do that? It just goes.
Mm-hmm.
And I take that for granted every single day. So of course, a couple of days later, I was feeling better. I walked across the room when I woke up to brush my teeth. And I thought, oh, body, thank you for doing that so easily. I didn't have to give you any other guidance. You just obliged.
Yeah.
And it really moved me. So finding that one thing a day, whatever it is, to feel grateful for, that you normally take for granted,
mm-hmm.
that is actually really beautiful. And it can be the big things, like when your husband brings you flowers, or, you know, you get a date night out and that feels like, oh, thank goodness. Yeah, grateful for those things too. But having one thing a day that really makes you feel the gratitude in your body, instead of just thinking about it and then moving on to the next thing that's not going well.
Right. I think mindset is powerful.
It is.
It is. And I'm not great at that. So I think that's good to start.
How do you know you're not great at that? Or is that just a story?
I feel constantly worried about the next thing. So I don't always enjoy those moments in front of me.
Well, let's look at what worry actually is. It's your mind going into the future,
mm-hmm.
thinking about what might happen.
Yeah.
But now you have a practice, a real practice to do when you do that. And I use the word practice because it's going to take practice.
Right.
And you're going to have to notice first when you're not doing it. Like, oh, geez, yes. How long has my mind been going off into the next 3 months? Like, I'm doing Christmas shopping. it's always September. You know, so catching aware of it, being light and gentle on yourself when you catch yourself doing it, knowing that awareness is the first step, but also not enough by itself. Like, we're not just going to be aware that your mind is wandering. We're going to be aware, and then you're going to do the work of bringing it back.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to point something out that relates to the subconscious mind when we're wired for worry and stress or anything. Your body, your mind will interpret that as familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been science now to prove that your brain will interpret familiar things as safe, even if they're wildly unsafe, because they're familiar. Mm-hmm. Like shooting up heroin, not safe. But if that's what your body is used to, your cells will interpret as that is safe.
Yeah, makes sense.
But if you decide, hey, I'm done shooting up heroin, I'm going to go get sober, your cells will interpret that as being unsafe, panic, anxiety. So I say this not because you rewiring your brain is going to bring about panic and anxiety, but it may not feel normal at first. It might feel weird. It might feel like something's missing from your life.
Right.
Remind yourself, isn't that amazing that your brain's trying so hard to keep you safe?
Mm-hmm.
Just reminding yourself that you are safe. And I'm not a hypnotist, but I have used hypnosis as a healing tool on many occasions. I often bring it to my clients.
Mm-hmm.
So looking around maybe on YouTube or for some hypnosis audios to listen to help you fall asleep, and or maybe another point in your day when you first get your son off to school and you have a minute to yourself,
mm-hmm.
to whatever topic speaks to you, train your brain to realize you already are enough. Daniela, even if you did nothing more as a mom and you just existed with the status quo you have right now, you are enough.
Thank you.
And there's no enoughness fairy that comes around with her magic wand and goes, boop, you're enough now. As we've already discussed, there's no quota,
right,
for when we know you're enough. Are you willing to decide that you're enough today?
Yeah, I have to do it. I have to really focus on that so that I could be more present.
Right.
In the end.
And take a moment and fully consider where you'll be a year from now if you don't decide to claim that you're not? What does that look like?
Ball of stress. Not good.
Ball of stress. But I would also say not the same stress you have now. It would be exacerbated stress knowing that your son is older, another year has gone by.
More time has passed and the gap is getting wider.
Right. And how would that help you to remain regulated?
It wouldn't at all. I think it would cause more damage, damage to myself, damage to my family, to my son especially.
Yeah. And you get to choose if you're willing to do that or not.
Yeah.
And on the flip side, what's possible for you a year from now if you choose to claim that you are enough already?
I mean, I always go back to what would be better for him. And I just, aside from me, I know I have to take care of myself and I have to mentally be at a place where I know strategies and tools where I could bring myself back from that stress and anxiety and thinking of the future. But I think that if I work on this, that I could be there to help him when he is dysregulated.
Are you willing to consider the idea that the only thing you need to do to help him when he is dysregulated is to regulate yourself?
Yeah. I do believe it. I just have to do it. I have to really practice and I have to really put myself in when those moments happen instead of like, no, stop, you know, don't do that. It has to be how I present myself and how I could be supportive for him.
So what do you think you've received from putting yourself at the bottom of the barrel in favor of doing the research, doing the next thing? I envision running in like a million different directions all at once, trying to find answers.
Answers, yeah. I haven't done anything for myself.
Well, what do you gain from not doing anything for yourself? It's called a secondary gain. What do you gain? What benefit do you get by not doing anything for yourself?
I'm doing more for people.
And what does that do for you?
Yeah. I mean, it makes me feel good. I like to take care of everyone. I am a giver.
What emotion is coming up for you?
Just sometimes it's overwhelming. You know, thinking about everyone and their schedules and managing everyone, managing feelings, emotions, needs.
So then what do you get? What stories do you get to tell yourself by doing that?
That at least that I'm able to help them accomplish what they need or feel good or take care of an appointment. But I'm not doing that for myself.
You're aware that that's the definition of codependence, right? You're finding your self-worth in other people's journey.
Yeah.
And managing their journeys. And along with that, you're also taking away the ability for them to learn their own lessons.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got your claws on the lessons and the journey, making it go a certain way. But mostly you're telling yourself you're enough because you did for everyone else.
Right.
So what you get from being an overgiver and neglecting yourself is you get to stay in the hamster wheel of telling yourself that you're enough, but not really believing it.
Yeah.
What are you afraid will happen if you get off the hamster wheel?
I don't know. I'm always waiting for, you know, the wall to crumble. So I'm always one hand up and leaning up against that wall or, you know, for the next not good thing to happen. So it is, I don't know. I think mentally I do need a lot of work and strength and I have to change my mindset.
Do you feel like you have tangible tools that we've talked about today to get started?
I do.
Do you have any questions for me about them?
I'm looking forward to getting started, and I'm sure that I have to remind myself to do it, especially in those crazy hectic moments.
Well, let's take that pressure off and not give you one other mental thing to manage. We have these amazing things called smartphones, and mm-hmm. you can put alarms in your phone and your calendar that go off at random times to habituate this for you okay. until it feels like a habit yourself. Okay. So make that part of it. Don't give yourself another thing to remember.
Okay. I can do that.
Remember for you.
Yeah. And
is there anything remaining that feels like there's something niggling that needs to be addressed before we sign off? More that you need clarity on?
No, I maybe just thinking about in the moments, in like the actual moment, and I'm sure you could relate somehow, but you know, if my son is on the ground banging his head on the concrete, like you go into like a fight mode and it's like protecting his head from hurting. Like in those moments, you would suggest that I kind of just step away, do the breathing, then go to him, or like, you know, do it with him. But that's a tool that I should do.
Yes. In RDI, relationship development intervention, they often talk about many parents fear the kid meltdown or the behavioral issue, because yeah. what happens is when they step in, they're escalated because they feel, oh no, I have to stop him from hitting his head, or people are watching, or whatever the mental thing is that's giving them anxiety.
Yeah.
Which is a genuine thing. It's not comfortable for people to watch your kid meltdown. It's not ideal for your kid to be hitting his head on the floor. Right. We get that. And when you come in emotionally charged, you can't de-escalate someone else. Right. Not possible. Because right. even if you say nothing, they feel your energy. And with non-speaking kids especially, they're so perceptive of energy. They've had to be.
Yeah.
An amazing gift.
It is.
But as a result, you can't hide anything.
Yeah.
And one of my amazing mentors in relationship development intervention, who I still work with my own child, said to me when he was 11 years ago, Sarah, and she had a thick Brooklyn accent. He's not responding to you. He is not the problem. If you're there saying, stop doing that. Stop,
and that's what I'm doing. Yeah.
And he's not stopping. He's not the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You are the problem. So check yourself.
Yeah.
And when she said that to me, that was like the slap in the face of all slaps in the face that could possibly exist. And I'm so thankful.
Mm-hmm.
It was like one of those moments that I call F you and, and thank you all yeah. at the same time, right? So give yourself permission. Now that you know, you can't de-escalate him when you're escalated. And then it becomes like the chicken or the egg. You're escalating right. more and more because he's feeling your tension. So he's escalating more. You're getting frustrated because he's not de-escalating. So you escalate more. And it's like, it just right. goes on and on until yeah. people off themselves.
Yeah.
So now that you know that's not going to work, you tried it already.
Yeah, we've been living that.
Right. Give yourself permission to step away. Maybe you put a pillow beneath his head first and then yeah. you step away.
Mm-hmm.
And take those 3 deep breaths. It probably won't take you more than 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also advise from an RDI standpoint, say less. 80% of the communication that we want to have with people, that we actually do have with people, neurotypical or not, is nonverbal. Your facial expressions, your energy, your gestures.
Mm-hmm.
All of that is part of it.
Yeah.
And what an amazing gift that your kid has actually told you, Mom, you need to regulate. I mean, I know families who will never get that from their non-speaking child, or not say never, but they're not open to doing the work to get that.
Right.
So what a gift that you know the linchpin here.
Yeah.
So believe him.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to spend your energy going to find the linchpin in your right. Google search at 3 a.m. You already know what it is. He's told you. I mean, I'm just so mind-boggled. Like, this is amazing. So now believe what he's saying. Trust what he's saying. And see what happens
mm-hmm.
when you come into the situation regulated. And you might want to keep a little journal, even in the memos on your phone, of, okay, we had this behavior at 5 o'clock and it was over at this time.
Yeah,
and here's yeah. how I approached it. I took three deep breaths, or I didn't take three deep breaths. And here's what happened. And keep a little log of how this evolves as you evolve.
Okay.
That's I just want you to know, I know this is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And it might take time to work, but I know it's going to work. And imagine the great gift you're giving him by taking your pressure off. Do you have a word that comes to mind of how you feel when that pressure is released?
I think I could describe it best that maybe just relief, peace.
Yeah. And what do you think will happen when peace is the energy in your home?
I think he'll thrive a little bit more, because I think there's a lot of tension, there's a lot of stress, and it can't be good for him. I know he hears us, and I know he sees us, and he feels it most, you know, he's very good at the emotions.
Yeah. And all behaviors, you know, there's this negative term or connotation around the term behaviors, I think, when you are used to school settings or your kid's behavioral, you know, and no one's really looking to see, well, why are they behaving that way? Your body's not going to respond with a behavior for no reason. There's something going on that's making you behave a certain way. And he's communicating something.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be interesting to see how that evolves as you evolve and as the energy evolves. And how beautiful, in my humble opinion, that you have recognized what my mentor told me, like, Sarah, you're the problem here. Not, and I say that like joyfully, jokingly, yeah. because you're not yeah. a problem. You're an amazing mom who's doing amazing things beyond what most moms do. And how freeing that you get to be the change maker in your house.
Yeah. It feels good to want to start and to just, it feels almost freeing.
Yeah.
It feels like a load has been lifted off, and, you know, to get ready to start this work and really, really do it, really be in it.
Yeah.
And present and watch the changes, slow if they are, but they'll be there.
Absolutely. And to everyone listening to the podcast, I know a lot of people listen to the podcast, get great insight, and then do nothing. Yeah. So the tools that you're listening to Danielle receive today, know that they're available to you too, and you can choose to use them in your life. And if you are trying to use them and you're on the hot mess express, it's not going well, reach out, book a roadmap session with me, send me an email, comment on social media, you know, interact. And that way I can be of service to you too. But you're not even going to get that far if you assume it won't work. If you don't make the time, it does require time and awareness. Make the time to do it. But when you do that, all things are possible because you've started. So Daniela, what was your greatest insight from our time together today?
I really think focusing on myself, changing that mindset, or revising it, you know, I mean, we're all here.
Yeah.
To enjoy and find that peace and, you know, enjoy the moments. So I think that I really do have a work to do on myself in order to help my son. And I'm going to use those tools. And I appreciate so much the conversation with you. And it's so natural. And it's wonderful working with you.
I appreciate you too. And I want you to know, and I want everyone listening to know, I have seen so many loving, devoted parents who are unwilling to admit that they are the problem. For lack of a better word, maybe problem is not the best word, but they're
contributing, you know,
they're so focused on doing all the things for their kid, hiring all the therapists, getting all the things done. They're not looking at the energy they're bringing to the equation here. And they're so overwhelmed because they're not healing themselves.
Yeah.
They are stuck in that mode of, let me do more for my kid. What's the next thing? Do they need this type of therapy? Do they need that type of diet? Do they need to go to this doctor? Whatever.
Yeah.
You can do all the things. You can give your kid zero screen time and feed them all their green vegetables every day. And if what you're emitting is an energy of stress and anxiety and overwhelm, that is what they will remember. That is what they will hold on to. They feel it. You don't need to tell them that you're stressed. They feel that from you. They're your kids.
Yeah.
It's like when you're home and you're having a moment and you're frustrated and your husband walks into the room and says, how you doing, honey? And you say, fine. You know, you're not fine. You don't have to say anything. Our kids are the same way, maybe even more perceptive.
Yeah. And so observant.
So observant. So to everyone listening who's caught in that busy trap of, I'm the best mom or dad because I'm taking my kid to all the appointments and I'm finding all the specialists, blah, 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 blah. You, if you choose to be a meaningful participant in your parenting journey, are the change maker.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's something that's not clicking, know that you have the power to make it click. You don't need to go hire another therapist, find the other modality. You are the change maker. That is the work that I do with parents. And it's the most amazing thing to see families thrive. And if you've been, as one of my spiritual teachers says, you know, carrying around a bag of rocks,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe even occasionally taking on a rock and beating yourself with it. I was that person of like, oh, let me make it hard for myself. Let me beat myself up. I'm not good enough, right?
Yeah.
I've also heard people say like, oh, it's okay to take off the bag of rocks and let yourself be free, which is a really nice idea.
Yeah.
But when you're used to carrying around the mental bag of rocks, you don't know how to do that. It seems impossible. But maybe you can take one rock out of your bag today.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe in a couple of days, you take out another rock. And that's doable.
Yeah. Whole conversation has been powerful in that train, you know, practicing your mind. Your mind really is a big part of your child's journey. They feel that, they know that. And yeah. I knew for me, it was time that, you know, it's been so long of this injurious behavior and I know I'm not responding the right way. And so I know I have to be the change.
Yeah. And before we sign off, just a little tidbit, because I do find that many of my listeners are spiritual like me, or like closeted spiritual people.
Yeah.
But everyone I talk to who has a child who's different like this always says the same thing that I say, which is there's a reason, even if I don't know what it is, there's a purpose for this in my life. Even if I don't know what it is yet, I believe my child is here for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they're teaching me something, even if I can't articulate it, even if it sucks right now.
Yeah.
And because I'm tired and I'm stressed. I always think of words that a spiritual teacher of mine said about kids on the spectrum, or adults for that matter. And they come in and their vibration is so high, he says, and I believe as well, that they don't often feel comfortable in the 3D world with the crowds and the noise and the low vibration energy that the news brings and like all that stuff.
Right.
And that's why they're more sensitive. And what if they're the evolved ones?
Yeah.
And we know nothing.
Yeah.
And isn't this kind of funny? I have to say, I remind myself of this a lot, you know, when I feel like there's a situation where my child's not fitting into the box, right? Whether that be school or, you know, anywhere. It could be church, it could be the store, anywhere.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can take the edge off for me when I remind myself, what if he's the evolved one and we're all the idiots? Right? And yet where people are working so hard to make him fit into our idiotic, stupid box. What if I look at it as make him as comfortable as I can in his body, help him communicate what he needs, give him tools, but also remind myself on the regular that this being is so much more enlightened than me and teaching me something, even if I don't always see it at the time. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening and you're not spiritual, you can take what I'm saying with a grain of salt, but I find it kind of funny how parents often feel this.
Yeah.
And they may not always say it. They don't want people to think they're crazy. You can't talk to the teachers at school about it, but they so keep that in your back pocket too.
I will.
As you navigate this path.
Yes.
Daniela, thank you for being so open and so vulnerable. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for inviting me and for clarifying things and offering guidance.
It's my pleasure. Have a wonderful day. And everyone, thank you for listening.
If today's show resonated with you, please leave a review through your favorite podcast provider, as it's an important step in allowing new listeners to find us when they need to hear this message in their own lives.